Blog Talk Radio.
And knowing that if we're in right standing, if we have already confessed and
You know, if we have any sin that we've dealt with, we haven't dealt with this week, we might want to take it to the cross, and so we can be back in fellowship with our wonderful Lord and Savior, and be able to pray for others. You know, the Bible tells us that if we're out of order, if we're not walking right, our prayers can be hindered. So we don't want to have our prayers, and we don't want our prayers bouncing off the wall. So if we got an ought against a brother and sister, we want to get that right. We want to make it right. We offended somebody, we want to make it right. You know, whatever the case may be, if we can make it right, that's how we should do. We should make it right. And I just thank the Lord for another day. Today is Valentine's Day, and I know a lot of ladies get caught up on this day. But you know what, friends? And this, I'm going to say this, and please don't shoot. Every day in the body of Christ, every day being a believer is a Valentine's Day. You know why? Because God loves us every single day. And we're supposed to love one another every single day. We're supposed to love one another every single day. And that makes Valentine's Day real. That makes Valentine's Day a part of who we are. That's a part of our new DNA, because God said we should love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So if we are truly children of the Most High God, we don't have an option but to love, because Christ loved us first. He showed us how to love. He demonstrated the greatest love of selflessness by giving us his son as a ransom, one who would die for our sins. Even though he knew no sin, and he took our sin debt to the cross, and he went through scourging and persecution, and he was crucified on our behalf. Friends, I can't tell you a greater love offering than that. Not just a sacrifice, but he loved us so much. When we really understand what John 3:16 means, for God so loved the world that he gave, he showed selflessness by giving his only begotten son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the one who would die in our place. 100% God, 100% man, perfect, sinless, without any fault. Yet, he took on our sin debt. Friends, we can spend a lifetime trying to understand that and never, ever truly get it. So 646-668-8468 is call-in number, 646-668-8468. Want to call in for prayer on the air. Prayer on the air. It is time for us to lift up our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to pray and pray and pray. And pray for family members, pray for our nation. Whatever your prayer request is, you can make it known today, this morning, on Prayer on the Air. And it's time for us. Are we doing that? Let's pray. Let's pray. Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God. We just pray, Lord God, that our prayers are not hindered this morning, Lord. If there's anything in us that's not of you, Lord, please remove it, Lord. If it's selfishness or any self-centeredness, whatever it might be, Lord, that might be hindering us from being all that we can be for you. We ask, Father God, if we need healing, Lord, we pray for the healing of those who need it, Lord, from their head to their toes. Lord, we pray, Lord, for salvation for those who need to be saved, Lord. We pray for family members who might be caught up, Lord, in the things of this world, the sins of this world, Lord. We pray for deliverance, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that you would change the hearts and turn people to the cross, that they would no longer be lost and that they would be rescued by the Savior. We love you, we praise you, we bless you, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. 646-668-8468. If you would like to make your request known, if you're in the United States, you can call in 646-668-8468, and we will take your prayer request. And this is an opportunity on Sunday mornings on Blog Talk Radio on the Prodigal Church Hour to be able to come boldly and pray. Have a time of prayer, and even if you like to share some about what the Lord is doing in your life, as long as we got some time, we would love to hear What is the Lord doing in your life? How is he changing? How has he changed your life? How has he transformed you? How has he made you into a new creation? Don't be hesitant to come before the Lord boldly, and we can rejoice with you. We can rejoice with you. So with that being said, we're going to have, while we're waiting, we're going to have a song, and we're going to, let's see here. We're going to have a song. Be able to just set the mood while we're waiting for those who might call in. Hopefully we'll get some people that want to call in. Don't be shy. We want to definitely again, 646-668-8468 This is a call in number for those who would like prayer this morning. We want to open the doors for you to come and make your request known. Good morning to those on Friend Life this morning. Welcome. If you'd like to call in, if you're in the United States and you'd like to call in for prayer, or you can log on to the link at Blog Talk Radio, and there's a chat room open where you can make a request known in there if you'd like prayer. This is an opportunity for people to come before the Lord in prayer. Before we have a song, though, let's look at some scriptures on love, because this being Valentine's Day, I think a lot of people have a different view of love, and the Bible is clear on what love is, and there's a difference between love and lust, because around Valentine's Day, people get mushy, and that's okay if you're married, but still, even in the marriage, the biblical definition of love that outweighs the eros is definitely not a love that is based on emotions and physical. What the physical is based on something that's quite different, which is selflessness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7. He says, "Love suffers long, and love is kind." In other words, love suffers long. It means that it waits. It suffers. It goes through. It means some people might not treat you very kind, but we have to love them with an attitude that we are patient with them. Doesn't mean that you accept all of their bad behavior, but we should be patient with them and pray for them, and because you don't know what God is going to do with them. Doesn't mean you have to hand them a fork to stick it in your back. Sometimes you have to let people go, but you love them and you pray for them. You're looking at the greater good of what they need, and the redemption of what they need is Christ. They need to be redeemed. They need to know the Savior. They need to be born again. If a person has a stony heart, a person that's evil, I know this week alone I had some folks that attacked me through social media, and they were just ranting out and going on, and they were just talking kind of crazy. And you know what? You just have to love them. I did not revile, or I did not get in my flesh and go toe-to-toe with them in their dark heart. I basically shared the scriptures, and they got even angrier, but that's okay. The devil does not like the light. His people don't like the light. When you share the good news brings conviction. And I'm so sick of people who claim to be Christians who would say, "Oh, we're not supposed to bring the message of, it's not so, you know, we're not supposed to bring a message that brings conviction on them." What Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading? Because everything Jesus preached to the Pharisees, they hated it because it did not feel good to their quote unquote religion, Judaism. They didn't hear what they wanted to hear. They wanted somebody to tickle their ears because they thought, hey, who is this guy to tell us anything? We're the hierarchy. We're the religious rulers of the day. We know the law. Yes, they knew the law, but they weren't following the law. And they were causing others to stumble. They were stumbling blocks for others because they were too self-righteous. So we have to be long-suffering as believers. We have to be long-suffering and patient with people. The Bible also says that love is kind. Love is kind. Not a kind, but kind. It means we treat people with like Christ treated them. Even when they were sinners, Christ was still loving. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he treated us kind. He showed us kindness even in our darkest times. Even when we didn't deserve it, we all deserve him. It doesn't envy. In other words, it's not jealous of what other people. In other words, God's love for us is enough to go around. He's not someone that just loves one group more than another. He does love the believer different than he loves the unbeliever. The unbeliever, he's waiting for them to come to Christ. He's drawing them in by using the believer to draw them in. While we're supposed to be loving and show kindness, and we show it by our attitude, not by we don't get into the same mentality as they are. Remember, they're in the darkness. They don't understand the light. So because they don't understand it, because their version of love is perversion and it's based on what they feel versus what God's word says, it's easy for them to be caught up in their feelings and emotions and their mess. But God says that love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. In other words, we don't go around saying, look how loving I am. Look at me. I'm so loving. I love everybody. I'm just loving. I'm full of love. I'm just so loving. No, love does not parade itself. Love demonstrates itself because of who Christ has made us to be. We are to love one another because of what Christ has shown us and because of who we are in Christ. Remember, before we were born again, what we called love or what we thought we were doing when we loved people was all based on what was in it for us. We had a different motive. And really, we didn't have the same desire that Christ had for us because we weren't sharing the good news because we didn't know the good news. We didn't know Jesus Christ, and we didn't know the message of the cross. We might have told people to go to church, but you never told them they needed to be born again. They must be born again of the Spirit. This kind of love does not parade itself, or is it puffed up? Love is not prideful. Oh, look at me. I'm so loving. Look at me. I'm so full of love. We're doing the George Jefferson strut in our so-called, quote-unquote, love relationship with God. No, we're not prideful. All of us are zeros. We all needed Jesus Christ to be the hero of our soul, and we still need him even today. Even after you get saved, you don't walk around talking about, look at me, look at me, look at me. We're zeros. We're nothings. Christ didn't need us. We always need him. He can speak to a rock. A rock crowd if he wants it to. If he chose a rock or a fly to speak to us, he could. Bible says, love doesn't behave rudely. Wow. How many of us have a problem with being rude to people? How many of us have a problem with demonstrating kindness and not being rude? You cannot say you love God and you're rude. You're always snapping off and, you know, flying off the handle and acting all, you know, kind of, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. No, that's not love, friends. That's not love. That's rude. You're being rude. How we treat people, believer and non-believer, we should demonstrate the attitude of love. And love should not be rude. It should not be standing up and pounding our chest, and we definitely shouldn't be walking around like we got a chip on our shoulder, like we deserve salvation, because all of us are filthy rags, and the only thing we can boast in is the blood that washed us and cleaned us up. 646-668-8468. Come on, you guys, call in. We need some prayer. I know somebody got some prayer requests. Somebody got something to pray about. The Bible says also that love does not seek its own. Selfless. Selfless. Do we demonstrate the selflessness that Christ demonstrated? Are we concerned about the other person's best interests? And I posted today on one of the social medias that I'm on for the ladies. Specifically, I said, yeah, ladies, don't mistake a man's lust for you as love. Love, agape, always builds you up for what God's best interest is for you. Lust is always about his selfish desire for you, which has no heavenly value. Which has no heavenly value. And that could be for men too. Because a woman could be in that relationship with you because she know you got finances. You got the you can take care of her needs, her selfish needs. In other words, you can cater to her material needs and her outward, her clothing and buying her house and cars and all that because of your beauty, he's buying you. And you basically for rent or for lease until something bigger and better comes along. So that could be a problem with how we look at love. Because if it's a business transaction, I need a trophy wife. Well, as a man, if I need a trophy wife, then basically I will lease this for a time because I'm wealthy and I got all of this, you know, I'm a businessman who got all of these things, and that should never be. You can tell when somebody is with somebody for the right reason. You got, and sometimes even in Christian circles, you got some pastors that might not be the most handsome guy out there. He might be an overweight guy, but he got one of these little pretty trophy wives. And it could be because of his ministry is big. And some women, they want to be that first lady, and they don't mind. They want to have that spotlight. They need to be, they need to feel like they somebody. Again, this becomes that puffed up attitude. This becomes that, look at me, I'm the first lady. Which is not even a title biblically. We've given that title to a lot of so-called churchmen, women. But there's no such thing as a first lady status. Only first lady status you see is in the White House. There's no first lady status in the church. All that stuff is man-made. Just like a lot of the stuff that they do now is man-made. But remember, love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Love, it does not seek its own. In other words, it's not about what you can get from the other person. It's about what you're gonna give. It's about what you're there to give. It's not provoked. Love is not provoked. It's, you don't poke a stick at love and try to turn it into hate. No. Not provoked. We who are believers, friends, we have been born again. We've been born again, and guess what? We know, we who have self-control should know how to lay our sin down. We should know how to be able to know how to lay our pride down, that malice, that stuff that burns up in our flesh. We got to be able to, you know what, brother, sister, I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes you have to walk away from folks because people will try to provoke you. Love does not think evil. Are we walking around as believers thinking how we can get back at somebody who did us wrong? Are we thinking evil thoughts, how we can have malice and we can turn against a person? How we going, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. See, because if you're not walking in love, we're walking in selfishness. And selfishness is the opposite of love. Because remember, agape love is selfless love, where the opposite, contrast to that, being contrast, would be selfish. What's in it for me? I'm not doing this unless I got something coming. I'm not going to do this unless it's something that I can get out of it. We're talking about love on this morning on Prodigal Church Hour about prayer. prayer. Prayer on the air for those who'd like to call in, 646-668-8468. Prayer on the air. Don't be shy. You can call in and get your prayer request this morning. But we'll come back to this. We're going to let's listen to Daryl Coley while we wait. He's preparing me. He's preparing me. Is he preparing you? Is the Lord preparing you for a good work? Is he preparing to use you? Or is it just you? Up this morning. What's going on here? Sometimes things don't work, you know, even computers. They could be fun, they could be, they're definitely most needed, but when they don't want to act right. For those who would like to call in for prayer, call in right now live. For those who like to call in for prayer on the air right now, call in and make your request known. We are live on the Prodigal Church Hour. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Big Ken 65, and you can be able to log on and even come in the chat room. There's a chat room if you'd like to come in there and make your request known there. The chat room is open. But the number to call in for prayer, you can call in right now, live, and be able to make your request known. You know why I can't get my music going? I got an alternate. Let me try this way. We're going to get a mute song together, and then we're going to come back to this little lesson on love and what it means to truly love. Again, like to call in 646-668-8468. Just while I'm waiting to get my song together, again, we were talking about 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, and we're just kind of understanding and going through what it means to love, what it means to have how love is patient, is kind, it does no wrong, and how important we as a body of believers, how important it is for us to understand what love is and what it's not. Love is not about, you know, how we feel all the time. Even though love does represent our emotions, but love is not based on our emotions. Love is based on God's gift to man. When he demonstrated his love for us, he demonstrated the greatest act of love, which was he died on the cross for our sins. Those of us who are believers, born-again believers, should have an understanding of what love is and what it represents and what it truly means from a biblical perspective. And so I want us to, again, look at 1 Corinthians 13. You have your Bibles. And again, check us out Monday through Thursday on Blog Talk Radio. Live, 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That'll be 7 Central Standard Time and 8 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Thursday, as we're going verse by verse through the book of Peter. And we're at, tomorrow we'll be dealing with persecution and how the church was persecuted and how we as believers could be persecuted. And it's important for us to know that the persecution that will come will still come, persecution that's gonna come should not deter us from our faith, but it should encourage us in our faith. And it should be, it should just let us know that, hey, if Christ suffered for sin, we will suffer to, we will suffer for righteousness' sake, because he suffered, he died for our sin, but more than that, He was persecuted for righteousness. Because of his righteousness, he was persecuted. We're going to be persecuted because he gave us an example that we can follow behind. So We'll be looking at persecution tomorrow. So join me at at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those that's on the foreign lands, I can't tell you how far apart, because some of us are 12 hours apart. But you can always go to Blog Talk Radio, to the archives on the Prodigal Church Hour, and be able to listen. And the door is open. You can be able to call in 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. If you have a prayer request this morning, please hit 1 on your phone, and we'll take your phone call. You can be able to share your prayer request. And don't be shy. For those who want, but let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're looking at what it means. What is the true meaning of love? What is the true meaning of love for God's word? Because if we don't have this kind of love, we won't be able to love the way God told us to love. And he says in verse 7, he says, "Love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. For tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, as Christ, the patel will pass away." Let's go back here to love. Paul tells us very clearly, he says, the focus on the emptiness produced when love is absent from ministry. In these verses, the fullness of love is described in each case by what love does. Love is action, not abstraction. Positively, love is patient with people and gracious to them with generosity. Negatively, love never envies or brags or is arrogant. Since that is the opposite of selfless service to others, never rude or overbearing. Love never wants its own way, is not irritated or angered in personal offense. We see right here, friends, that all of us have work to do when it comes to love. All of us have work to do when it comes to love, because remember, it's not rude. It's not about what's in it for us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We go back to verse 4. Love is patient, is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You know, you got some people that claim to be Christians, and they want to see the worst out of people. They don't want to see the best. They don't want to see them prosper and come to mature in their walk, or that they will grow. But they're always concerned. They're always trying to tear down instead of build up. If it's not going to benefit them, they don't want nothing to do with it, because that's how they are. They're selfish. Selfish and self-centered. But God's definition of love is very clear, that it doesn't seek its own. It's not insistent on its own way. It's not insistent on its own way. And we need to believe what God's word says. So 646-668-8468. If you want to call in for prayer, 646-668-8468 for prayer on the air. And real quick, cue a song up. For whatever reason, YouTube is not really acting right this morning, and those things sometimes happen. But that's okay. That's okay. We're going to keep it moving and keep it Jesus. Amen. Keep it moving and keep it Jesus. And we'll be all right. right. I think we got something here. Let me see what we got over here. Hold on a second. 646-668-84. Yeah. Okay, for those that like to call in again, 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468 for prayer. If you got live, if you need prayer, if you like to come in the chat room, come in the chat room again. Those on Friend Life, if you're in the United States, you can call in. We're talking about love on this Valentine's Day, but not the kind of love that is about flowers and rainbows and sunshine, but the kind of love that demonstrates, that keeps on giving every day of the week, 7 days a week, agape love, 7 days a week, agape love. Let's have this quick song by Nicole Mullen, My Everything. Is Christ your everything? Is he your everything? Let's listen.
Far away and so far, I can hear when I cry. I close my eyes and you are there. Light so let me
Amen. 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 Again, we are live on Prodigal Church Hour Radio, and I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken 65, coming to you live from Southern California. This 5:45 a.m. Sunday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day for most of the world. And we celebrate Valentine, so that if you want to call it that, our Valentine's Day is every day. The body of Christ, the ones who are born again of the Spirit, we understand that our love for God must come first, and then we can love one another truly how God intended for us to love, and everything else is basically selflessness instead of selfishness. And we want to demonstrate the heart of Christ in how we love. Anything less, anything other than that would be basically hypocrisy, because it would be all about what's in it for us and not what he did for us. And most of us do not understand how to love, because we never truly have understood the one who loved us first. While we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ came and died for our sin and our transgression. Real quick, let me share Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Because we so easily forget, and we need to always be reminded that he did it first. He showed us first the way. And Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. We must understand what way it was. And he says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work, now at work, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body." In other words, we were selfish sinners walking around, living it up, feeding our flesh, and never ever did we think once how selfish we were, because that's the darkness. Remember, he says we were the darkness, not in the darkness, but we were the darkness, and we were following the prince and the power of the air. But Christ shows us, he says, "But God," in verse 4, "being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." See, friends, he did it all. He did it all. And we owe him all. We owe him ourselves. We owe him complete surrender, so that we can have, so he can have complete control over us. And the beauty of it is that all he asked us to do is just serve him. He left us an example that we would be like him. 646-668-8468. We're talking about this great, great love that Christ has showed us. And again, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity." In other words, you're not happy when something bad happens to other people or when evil people do things. "But rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." It's not, that's not something that's popular in today's society, friends, because love is conditional from most people's perspective. Most people have a conditional love. But agape love is not conditional. Now, one thing we must identify is that only the believer can understand agape love, because only the believer is born of the Spirit of God. Only he or she can give out agape love. Ungodly people that don't have the spirit of truth in them, I don't care if it's mama, sister, brother, daddy, whoever, if they're not born again, friends, they don't understand this version of love. It's quite, even when they try to give their best foot forward, they're trying to pull themselves up by their own bootstrap, they still will not meet the standard that God requires. They don't know what selfless love is, because their love is based on emotions and feelings and what they believe it is. And they love those who they choose, and they hate those that they don't. We as believers, even our enemies, we gotta love them. So remember, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. In other words, it's not what we want. It's what God wants for them. You might say, well, I'm not going to love them no more. Well, you just told God you're not going to love him either. Because remember, you say, then you make it about you. I make it about me. We can't make it about either one of them. We got to make it about Christ. What did Christ require of us? What did he tell us we need to do? We do not seek our own. It's not about our will. It's thy will be done. Jesus said, it's thy will be done. Let's look at some scriptures, some more scriptures of what love is. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. I am really, I don't even say it. Guess it doesn't matter. Again, for those on Friend Life, if you're in the United States, you can call in for prayer. If you would like to have, if you have a prayer request, you can call in. 646-668-8468. If you're logged on, you can go to the chat room. It's open. You can post a prayer request in the chat room. If you're logged on to the Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/MrBigKen65. You can go ahead and log on or just make a prayer request in the chat room again. Let's look at some scriptures on agape love. Agape love, not sloppy love. How this looks as we, as believers, what kind of love we should demonstrate and how we should be more like our Heavenly Father, because he showed the greatest love. None of us would have sent our child to die for the sins of the world. So we don't even need to fool ourselves and act like we would have. Because we know we would not. We know we would not have sent our kids to die. Some of us wouldn't even show phileo love, which is we get the word the state of Philadelphia, which is city of brotherly love. And we know that that was a name. It meant well, and it's a biblical term, biblical word of love. But guess what? Most people ain't following that. They don't show brotherly love. We got this whole thing about love. We love certain groups of people, certain races of people. I love my own more than I love. No, my own is the body of Christ. My own is the body of Christ. Those who are born again are my brothers and sisters. I don't care what color you are, what nationality you are. I don't have no allegiance to black people because we black. I have allegiance to Christ because of the cross. That's what's going to stand. There's no righteousness in a color or a skin. You got evil in all races. Because until people are born again, their heart is still wicked and deceitful. But let's look at this agape love. We know that God is love, but what is the agape love that is described in the Bible? There are several kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. What are they now? What are they, and how does it compare with the agape love? Phileo love. The first love is called phileo, love that is the love that, like, the city Philadelphia was named after brotherly love. This type of love is that friends have for one another. This type of love can also exist between brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, other family members, but it is most frequently associated with a deep abiding friendship, a love that is shared between the best friends, much like that of King David and Jonathan and King Saul's son. It is, or at least should be, the type of love that exists between church members. It is a love that is not passionate like that between a husband and wife. After Jesus' resurrection, he came to the disciples. He asked Peter if he loved him. The word Jesus used about whether Peter loved him was agapeo. But Peter must have been caught off guard and said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," John 21:15. But the word that Peter used was the Greek word for leo, which is the brotherly love. Peter didn't get it. Jesus was using the strongest of all types of love, agape. There's another love. This love is eros. The next type of love is what is called the Greek eros, which is the love that is about sex. You can probably see that is a root word for erotic. Surprisingly, the word is not used in the New Testament at all, but this type of love is that which occurs between a man and a woman, and there is nothing sinful about the eros love as long as it is within the confines of marriage. Most people don't know nothing about that love, so next time somebody says, I love her, no, you don't. If it's outside of marriage, it's not love. Don't fool yourself. Don't play yourself. You don't love her. You're selfish. You and her are being selfish. Eros love is not to be mistaken, or basically, if it's perverted, it becomes lust. It's not love. It becomes lust. Next love is sturgeon. Sturgeon. Most people probably have not heard of this type of love, but they exhibit it without even knowing it. This kind of love is what a sister and a brother for one another, and the kind that they have for their siblings, like phileo. In other words, it's a family love. It's a love, a certain love that you would have towards a mother and father, sister and brother. This is that type of love. It is not passionate love, but one that has strong feelings between family members. It can include the love of a parent, a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandparents, cousins. This love is one that most people have in the world in family relationships. That's that family love. So when you see sturgeon, that's the type of love that we all have for siblings and close family members. When you say, "Oh, I love them," yeah, they do. They have that kind of love. We all have, you know, a certain love for our family members. Here's the last one, agape, or agapeo in the Greek. This is the Greek word for love at its ultimate. Agape love is not like a brotherly love or a love between a husband and wife. It is the most self-sacrificing love that there is. This type of love is the love that God has for his own children. This type of love is what was displayed on the cross by Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, it is written that God so agape the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If a husband and father had a choice to have his family and his children die for him, to die, and he chose to die for them, that is similar to what agape love is, but God's love is even greater than this. Agape love is that which is always associated with the love of God, and rarely does it occur when it occurs one person in a relationship. Rarely does it occur when it involves one person in a relation with another. The Greek word agape was hardly ever used in Greek-speaking societies, but in the New Testament, it occurs over 320 times. We never, ever going to meet the mark on this type of love, because we still in our flesh, and we still a mess. But guess what? We should be striving. We should have that attitude of agape. And we should at least be able to, we strive to give it back out that, hey, we got the other person's best interest. When you're sharing the gospel, when we give out the message of hope, that's selflessness. That's saying, hey, this message is for you. It's an antidote for your spiritual well-being. You need it because Christ demonstrated it, and it cost him his life. It cost him his life. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. If you'd like to call in, I don't know what's going on here with YouTube. I'm having a problem getting my, see if I can go another way. But that's what love looks like on this Valentine's Day for those who might think that they know, well, I love him, I love her. And you might, but still, do we have things, is there things that we can work on in the love relationship? Have we learned how to demonstrate that love in an action? Have we learned how to be more like Christ and less like ourselves in the midst of all that we are? What are we really trying to achieve? What are we trying to achieve, and how are we trying? What is our motive behind what we do? So that's important for us to look at. Don't want to act right now. Yep, YouTube is acting up on me. That's okay. Anyway, let's see. Nobody's really calling in, so we'll keep it moving for maybe another 20 or 30 minutes, and then we'll go ahead and close it up. 646-668-8468. Do want to pray, or you have a prayer request, you hit one on your phone if you're waiting in queue. That way I know you want to actually have a prayer request. Well, as we see this time in our society where most people, you know, are becoming, the Bible tells us in the last days, in Matthew chapter 23, I believe it is, or 24, he tells us that the love of most will wax cold in these last days, and we can see we live in a society or a world where that's becoming the norm, and people will, you know, kill their family members. You know, it's just so much selfishness instead of selflessness. And you would think that as a society we would know better. You would think we would know better. Let's look at some scriptures on this agape love. 1 John 4:8 tells us anyone who does not love agape does not know God, because God is love. Anyone who does not agape does not know God, because God is love. You cannot be a born-again Christian. You cannot be a faithful Christian. You cannot be a true Christian if you don't have this type of attitude. It's clear. Anyone who does not love, the person says in the body of Christ, or he claims to be a child of God, he or she claims to be a child of God, and they refuse to love someone, that person is not born again. That person is not a soldier for Christ, a child of Christ. That person is not a believer. Not a believer. So we have to identify, and we should identify them by the action, because love is an action. So if you say you love me, there should be some foot behind. There should be some attitude of, I'm going to show you, not just tell you. Because it's easy to tell somebody they love you love. And it's not necessarily it's not the mushy-mushy type either. It's telling the truth, speaking the truth in love. So we have to identify what agape love is versus that, quote-unquote, I like to use sloppy love. Sloppy love. John 10:17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus demonstrated his life, or his love for us, and his love for the Father. Because remember, he said, I always do what the Father tells me. Jesus demonstrates his love for the Father in obedience. Now, this is something that we have to really identify with. As believers, we should always love. Our love should be geared towards, how does this please our Heavenly Father? How does this please the Son? Because the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're all in agreement. Our love for them, our love in obedience, our love in righteousness and standing for righteousness and for what God's Word says, we should speak the truth in love. If I tell you a lie to try to make you feel good about it, then I didn't love you. Because I was so concerned about how you was going to feel versus what you needed. Because it's like this. If Christ has the antidote to AIDS or cancer or any type of long-term disease, if I tell you, and it might be painful to hear, it might be painful for you to get that shot for the antidote, but guess what? It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel better because Christ died in our place. He took the sin for us. He took that debt. But we must understand that love, it does not intentionally hurt anybody. Truth will hurt sometimes for those that got a stony heart, or those who are trying to skate around it or trying to get around it. It will hurt. Because a lot of times we're not told the truth. You've been lied to all your life, and people have been telling you this, that, and the other, and you refuse to accept it. I mean, or you just basically took them at their word, but you never tested to see. And guess what? They didn't have your best interest. They didn't have your best interest. John 10:17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. He laid his life down for us, but he took it up. He defeated death at the cross. He defeated death. He defeated death in the grave. It was finished. Nothing else needed to be done. When Christ said it was finished, the debt was paid in full. All we have to do is walk in by faith. All we have to do is show our love for him by saying, yes, I will surrender my will to your will. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. It's thy will be done. 2 Peter 1:17 says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, who? Jesus. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, quote, this is my beloved agapetos son. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He was well pleased. Will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant, to us? We don't lose our salvation. We might lose some rewards in heaven, but will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Will we just be, I remember yesterday, we had a men's fellowship yesterday, and Pastor Steve challenged the men. He said, are we just trying to just skim through? Are we just doing the minimum? Just doing our little spiritual duties? Or are we going to stand up as men and be men and do what we need to do to make a difference, make an impact in our society, in our homes? Wherever we go, are we making a difference? Do people know that we know him, our Savior? Do they know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we so afraid and so concerned about what people think? And not just telling them about Jesus, but living a life that says we know Jesus. Does no does us no good to have a said faith, which really we're deceiving ourselves with a dead faith. If Christ is not the standard in our life, if he's not the all in our life, we don't know what love is. We're not demonstrating the love. Again, he says, and we want to hear him say the same thing he said to the son. We want to hear that. Well pleased. This is my beloved. It's my beloved son, my beloved daughter, who I'm well pleased with. God will tell us that when we stand before him, if we're lined up with him, his will. I wouldn't want to be banking on my salvation. Well, you know, some people are arrogant and bold. They think to know when they're gonna die, so then they say, well, you know, I don't want all that Jesus stuff right now. But you know, when I die, my last breath, I'll just ask God to save me. Really? Really? Oh, now we think that God is foolish, and we think He's going to just pardon us because we told Him that we're not coming right now. We're going to be like the folks in Noah's day when they heard the truth for 120 years, yet they didn't get on the boat. But they was scratching at the boat at the last second. That's how we think we're going to get in by the skin of our teeth like that. What arrogance, what pride to think that God is going to let us mock him for 40, 30, 20, 80 years, and then right before we about to take our last breath, we think we can cry out, Jesus, 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 and get in. I wouldn't want to bank on that. I would not want to put my stock in that. I would not want somebody to, you know, people will put you in heaven. You know, a lot of these pastors, they never put nobody, they never tell the truth. I've only heard one black pastor, and I can't remember who his name was, but gosh, he was on YouTube. That brother preached, and he basically, hey, he didn't hold no punches. He didn't give them a home-going service like they expected. He called the sin out. He called it what it was. The man was a drug dealer, pimping, and all of that. And he let it be known, hey, I'm not here. Hey, this man gone. And the way I know his lifestyle, according to the scriptures, he's not in heaven. But you, who are here and alive, y'all need to hear the message of truth. See, the most dishonest person can be at a funeral by telling the family members that this man is going to heaven when you know he was living like a hellion. And I would not want to bank on a last moment testimony or confession. That might work when you're standing in a confessional booth with some priest who needs Jesus, because he might give you some false hope, false sense of security. But friends, I don't want to be on that. I want to live my life now, today, every day. I know I don't live it perfect. I ain't sinless. But one thing I'm not going to do, I don't want to be out here sinning my brains out and thinking, oh, well, you know, I could just ask God at the last moment to save me. I'm just going to cry out to God at the last moment. No, friend. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. That tells me that, hey, if he's been talking to you for 10, 15 years and you've been telling him, no, thank you, I ain't ready. That right there is a dangerous attitude. It's demonic. That's a sin of unbelief. And the sin of unbelief will get you a death sentence. It will get you a death sentence. You don't want to walk in unbelief. You might say you believe. You might believe all the facts. You might believe everything about the Bible is true, but your lifestyle says, no, I don't want Jesus right now. I'm gonna go over here and have my cake and eat it too, so to speak. John 21:20 tells us, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, agapeo, following him, and one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you. Remember, Jesus knew everything. It was times he veiled his deity, and he was just acting out in his humanity. But it wasn't, he didn't know, he just veiled, it was veiled. It was veiled. He was speaking as the man, the Son of God versus God the Son. He knew his mission, he knew what he came to do. He's given us an example to follow. Agape is the kind of love that is not human origin. For example, this love can be said to be found in Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Much more now. This is where I would debate against those who think they can lose their salvation. If I've been reconciled, what does he do? He unreconciles me when I'm at fault, when I do something that's sinful, because every single day, whether sins of omission or sins of commission, I have those moments. Now, does a believer go around looking for or meditating on sins to commit? No, that should never be our desire. Could it happen? Yes. The moment that we decide we're not going to walk in the Spirit, yeah. Yeah, we'll regress back to our flesh, but that's not going to be a desire for you forever, and it's still not going to be a desire for you as a believer. You're not going to get the best. God's not going to let you do that without the chastening. He will take us to the woodshed because he loves us. But Romans 5:10 tells us, he says, for while we were enemies, Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2. But he says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. To die for an enemy is not what humans do. That is a God type of love. Jesus died for us while we were still his enemies and while we were sinners. He loved us first. He took the initiative. We didn't. Agape love is the kind of love that God had for us while we were still dead in our sins. Agape love is a God love. This love is a love that Jesus displayed in laying down his life voluntarily for us. The type of love that the Father and Jesus have for one another. A love that is poured out for us like Jesus' blood was poured out for sinners. Friends, the blood of Jesus Christ was precious. When it cleanses us, and it's still cleansing us, we are still being washed. We're still being cleaned up. We were filthy. And guess what? We still get dirty. And God will clean his children up. God will wash us. Make us white as snow. We don't have to live filthy lives no more. We don't have to live in the muck and the mud and the pig pen of our sin, because if you are born again, friends, that's not your home. That's not your, you don't like the filth no more. You don't like that old pig pen. If you still like the pig pen, then that means you're not done with it. That means you're not done with it. Christ died for us. He gave us an example that we can follow. 646-668-8468. We're about 40 minutes. Please, if you have a prayer request and you would like prayer, you can log in on the website and go to the chat room, or you can call in if you're in the United States. I know those that's in overseas or something, you might not be able to, but you can log in, at least put your prayer requests in the chat room on the Blog Talk Radio channel. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com facebook.com/MinisterBigKen65, and you can be able to log in 646-668-8468. You can call in. We got about 35 minutes before we wrap this up, unless something changes and I have to leave before that. But friends, I just want to encourage you to realize everything that God has given you, everything that God has done for us, and this agape love. As we see Valentine's Day in America and probably around the world, for those who follow this day, it's not a quote-unquote biblical day or biblical holiday, but I think we can take the principle of godly love, agape love, and apply it into what true Valentine's Day, what a true Valentine's means. And Christ should be our Valentine's Day or our Valentine heart, because he demonstrated unselfish and he demonstrated the selflessness by coming to the world full of sinners and dying on the cross for our sin and making us new, making us a new creation, making us whole. And because of his finished work, we can have a Valentine's Day every day, so to speak. Because if you're born again, friends, guess what? You should be demonstrating the love of God every single day. Every single day. You should be demonstrating the love of God every single day. Selfless love. We should be demonstrating that. You might say, well, you know, I don't think I'm selfish. It's not what we think. It's what the Bible says. You know if you're selfish. If you do an honest observation of yourself, and if you know who you are and how you live, we all have to examine ourselves. We know what we're doing and we know what we're not doing. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. If you're not born again, friends, you are selfish. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if he's not Lord and Master and ruler of your life, you don't know what love is. Your version of love is based on what's in it for you and not what Christ has for you. If you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, you cannot love others with an agape love. You cannot love selfless. Oh, you'll have phileo, you'll have sturgis, you'll even have eros. All three of those are humanistic love that we all demonstrate. But this agape love, which Christ gave to us and showed us what true love is, you won't have that love. You can't have it because you don't understand selflessness. You don't understand what it means to be, to give without wanting anything back. And even when you try in your best sinful nature, your best efforts, you still fall short. But we all fall short. But the point is that the Spirit of truth intercedes on our behalf. Where you don't have the Spirit of truth, if you're not born again, you cannot. God doesn't intercede on your behalf. I see. We're gonna probably put a close to this 6:30, so nobody's calling in. And I think we got our Valentine's Day message, so to speak. We got it across. But I want to invite those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not, you know that you know that you're not saved. You know that you have not been living according to God's plan and purpose. If you know that you're not walking with God, today is the day you can come to the Father and have a relationship by surrendering your life to the Son. And that you would be born again by the Spirit of truth. And that the truth will set you free. Today is that day. All you got to do is just confess. Confess that you that you agree with God about your sin, and that your sin has separated Jesus Christ. Your sin has separated you from the Heavenly Father. He's not just the Creator, He's our Heavenly Father. Yes, identifying Him as Creator is one thing, but if you don't identify Him as Lord of your life and acknowledge Him that He is, that you are giving your life to Him so that He will be Lord of your life, you will not have eternal life. You must trust Jesus as Lord and Master of your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And it's by Him alone. You cannot have Jesus plus Buddha, Jesus plus Muhammad, Jesus plus Hare Krishna, Jesus plus Satan, Jesus plus the world, or Jesus plus your flesh. No, it's Jesus. It's Christ alone, the Messiah, Yeshua. He must be Lord of your life. And when you surrender your life to Him, He will give you new life. He will give you a resurrected life. He will give you a life that's more abundant. And it starts with your surrender. You might say, well, I don't, you know, I need to go and get my life cleaned up. You'll never, ever meet the standard. You'll never, ever get your life cleaned up. You know why? Because you don't have no righteousness. Your righteousness is filthy rags, according to God's word. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness in us that meets the standard. But Christ came down from heaven, died on the cross, and gave us hope, gave us eternal glory, the hope in His finished work on Calvary Cross, that hope, those who would place their faith in Him would have eternal life. Today is the day, friends. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and calling upon you to turn from your wicked ways, from your sinful ways, from your selfish ways, and turn to Him, today is the day that you can experience this love relationship that goes beyond what you thought love was. And once He changes you, once He makes you a new creation, He will give you a desire for His word. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, as a babe desires the sincere milk of the word that they may grow by, thereby. God wants you to grow up. Once He saves you, He gives you spiritual food, manna from heaven, that you can be mature and grow into a soldier for Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to come before Your people. Even though nobody showed up, Lord, or the prayer room was not full, Lord, we know, Lord God, that the word does not come back void. We thank You, Lord God, for allowing us to speak. We pray, Lord God, that this message was pleasing to You. We pray, Lord God, that You will touch those who are listening on the radio, on the website, that might not have called in this morning. Whatever they're going through right now, Lord, whatever their needs are, we ask, Lord God, that You meet their needs, Lord. Most of all, the spiritual needs, Lord. We can ask for things that are selfish, that's about us, Lord, but we want what You want, Lord. We want the best, Lord. We want to be selfless, Lord. And, Lord, most of all, we want to see people change. We want to see people come to saving faith and that they may be a new creation, that old things will pass away, and behold, the new will come. We thank You for this day, Lord God. Even though they call it Valentine's Day, the day of love, every day in the body of Christ is a day of love. And every day in the body of Christ, Lord, we should love one another like Christ loved the church. We thank You. We love You. We praise You. We bless You. We thank You for using me this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, friends, again, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, we will be back on our verse-by-verse study through Peter, verse-by-verse study through Peter and this wonderful epistle. And I pray that you guys will come and join us at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that you will come and join us that for our verse-by-verse study through Peter, and that we can continue to just grow in that wonderful, wonderful epistle and book. And tomorrow we'll be dealing with persecution and what does persecution look like and how we should have our minds prepared for persecution in these last days, friends, because it is real. Persecuted, the Church of Jesus Christ is being persecuted, not in America so much, but around the world there is persecution, great persecution of the Christian Church. And guess what, friends? God is still on the throne, so our brothers and sisters are not alone. And that's one thing. We need to be praying for the persecuted church. The persecuted church. There are Christians being persecuted all over the world. Please, please, please show your prayers. Lift them up in prayer that they will be able to stand the wiles of the devil, and they will be able to continue to just stand on faith, and that they will be ready to die for his name's sake. They will be ready and prepared, that they will not compromise in Jesus' name. And because it could happen to us this year, next year, or the year to come. It's going to come, though. Trust me. Trust me. Persecution of the body of Christ in America is going to come. They're already trying to take our liberties away and try to control what we say versus what God told us to say. And he told us to speak the truth in love, so we want to be obedient to him. We don't worry about when it comes down to what God says and what man says. We have to obey God rather than man. We learned that last week. And again, join us back here live 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And that's Monday through Thursday at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Standard Time. And you can also be able to catch all of the archive messages that we've done the last 5 years on the Blog Talk website at www.blogtalkradio.com. Also, if you want to follow along with my ministry and everything I'm doing on Facebook, you can go to Daryl Kendrick, Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Kendrick on Facebook. You can be able to follow along with me and add me as your friend. And for those that do Twitter, I'm not Twittering that much, but I do sometimes. You can be my friend on Twitter at DKendrickSR65 at Twitter. DKendrickSR65 on Twitter. And you can also, it'll take you, both of those, Facebook and Twitter, will take you to the Blog Talk website, and you'll be able to follow me as we do some different things and post things to help encourage the body of Christ. It's all about souls, man. It's all about selflessness and not selfishness. It's all about building up the body of Christ and helping people grow. Some people don't even understand the free resources and tools that you have that I post up, where you can be able to grow in your faith and grow and be able to study the Word of God in a more understandable way, a more practical way. And I post a lot of things up during the week on my Facebook page for you to be able to take for yourself and read and just grow closer to God. That's what's up in these last days. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So I don't want nobody to ever say that I wasn't there to build up and to help encourage the body of Christ. Let me check if we got any new people. No, nobody came in. Nobody came in. All right, we're going to go ahead and shut this down. And we just thank you guys, for those who are listening, those who are there. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Again, for those that might be in L.A. right quick, for those who might be in L.A., or live in L.A. that's listening in, hey, if you're looking for a good sound Bible teaching church, you can check out Core Church, Core Church of Los Angeles, www.corechurchla.org. They have three services, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. It's located on La Cienega. You can go to the website, corechurchla.org, and you can get the directions, but they are right about a quarter, not even a quarter of a mile, north of the I-10 freeway off of La Cienega in Los Angeles, California. So if you're looking for a good family of believers where you can grow, male or female, you can, where the Word of God is taught, and you're encouraged to share your faith, walk in your faith, and just be built up in your most holy faith. There's no perfect church because we're not perfect people. But I tell you, you can get fed, you can get your meal there, and you can also listen on live stream. If you're not in the area, you can listen on live stream at the 10:30 service on the same website, Core Church LA, www.org. I mean, corechurchla.org, and you could be able to listen along as Pastor Steve Wilburn gives out a great message, and he's also on KKLA. I'm not sure what that time is on that. I want to say 6:30, but you can check out the web. You can check out the Core Church website, and it'll tell you the times that he's on KKLA 99.5, giving out the Word of God. Amen. So with that being said, hey, to all my friends this morning, God bless each and every one of you. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. And may you be blessed. May you be blessed in all that you do. And whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed day.